And then they said to one another, "Who shall roll us back the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And looking, they saw the stone rolled back, for it was very great. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Christ is risen. Indeed, he is risen. While praying through today's gospel, I was struck by a small detail. And they said to one another, "Who shall roll us back the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And looking, they saw the stone roll back, for it was very great. That stone in front of the tomb out of which Christ burst at the resurrection shows that it is very great indeed. So great that it would be humanly impossible to move. This would be a feat that only God himself could do, to raise himself from the dead, since Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, the divine word. The Italian National Agency for New Technologies released in their report that it would have taken 34,000 billion watts of ultraviolet radiation to create the Shroud of Turin, the very vestment Christ was wearing at his resurrection. In other words, the resurrection of Christ produced 34 trillion watts of radiation at the moment of the resurrection. In today's gospel, in Mark 16, the women go in where Jesus had once been buried and see one who Mark calls a young man. But St. Matthew calls that same person an angel of the Lord. Mark's not wrong, it's just he's saying that this person looks like a young man to the women who enter. But in fact, it was an angel, as we know this is the same being that we read in Matthew 28. But so we have this question, why is this angel seated instead of standing? We always hear that the resurrection has a lot to do with standing. Why is this angel seated instead of standing inside there where Jesus rose? Well, St. Matthew tells us that at the resurrection, after that severe earthquake had occurred, quote, "An angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it," close quote. It's Matthew 28, verse 2. Wouldn't you expect the angel to stand on that giant boulder too? In triumph? But maybe sitting on it is even more triumphant than standing on it. Imagine an angel sitting on a several-ton boulder he had moved, as if to say, "Is this the best you can do? Death, is this the best you can do to the Son of God? He is not here. He has risen, as he said." Despite the corruption of the religious leaders, despite a government that kills the innocent, despite a friend that betrays him, the Lord rose anyway. I was up at 3 in the morning this morning and out on the veranda, and 4 in the morning the fog was out. You heard the silence of the city for once. And I sensed our Lord was truly risen. Even with all the evil I know is happening in the world, the Lord rose anyway. This is his power. Of that angel, Matthew also tells us his appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Reminds me of 2 Corinthians 2, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. For to one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life." Not a long sermon today, so I just want to end on a personal note. As many of you know, I'm returning to help with a family situation in which I'm really needed right now. I should say this will probably be the most sorrowful and most joyful of all my goodbyes thus far in my priestly life. Sorrowful because I've come to love you so much, and I know the truth is the same, vice versa, for most of you. Joyful because I've read the story of my life to see parish life is not for me. It's now time for a contemplative priesthood to start after I'm done helping my family with this situation. But both you and I think we're both blessed. I suppose that you families are the last, so that I can bring you specifically to prayer. That is why this time here is not a waste. But I ask you to offer your sufferings in body and soul for the people I'm called to reach outside this parish. For my time as a soul hunter is surely not come to an end. And so I really need you and your sacrifices as my driving force to reach more people as I move on. And that is truly my goal. Satan loses, causing any and all suffering on the cross, even in the mystical body, when we choose to live the unity of the resurrection. So the first thing I'd encourage everyone here to do this Easter season is more time in adoration. Whether the tabernacle's closed or our Lord is in the Luna and the monstrance, that's not the dead body of Jesus. That is the resurrected body of Christ. I admonish you all to spend time with our risen Lord. Two, I would ask you to keep going to the traditional Latin Mass. If you were only coming because of me, my mission has failed. And thirdly, I'd ask, every 2 weeks, please find another family or couple or single person to watch a saint movie and pray a rosary and eat dinner. That's the only legacy I want to leave in just 7 months here, because I've realized this year that the Catholic life is impossible to live alone. And that is, by the way, why I have told my home bishop I'm now finally resigned to religious life, where I can pray for this horrible church crisis to end or begin a life as a diocesan hermit where I can still reach many normal people on the streets and maybe others like yourselves online. But back to my admonishment, if you're in a family, please find one or two families to see every 2 weeks for a dinner and rosary and a saint movie. The Catholic life can't be lived alone. Even within the family, you need other families. And you know I'd be the last priest in the world to put everything vertical at the horizontal level to say the resurrection's only about community. But that's why I started with saying go to adoration. We may have hard times ahead of us, but if we have our Lord in the Eucharist, and if we team up with families, we will get to heaven, please God. Too often, even traditionalists who go to the Latin Mass get isolated within their families, and children feel they are isolated. Other families, even if Latin Mass families, can bring encouragement and admonishment to you. Why? Because again, we cannot live the Christian life alone. If you're an older couple, find one or two other couples to see every 2 weeks for a dinner and a rosary and a saint movie. If you're single, whether young or old, please find other single people every 2 weeks for a dinner and rosary together and maybe a saint movie. The Catholic life cannot be lived alone, and I have realized that so much in my 8 years of diocesan priesthood. So as I depart, I ask you to consider this. We may be tempted to say, why did we get so little time together? But I propose we should ask, why any at all, considering the state of all things? But the Lord is risen anyway. Yes, today Christ is risen, and I'm happy because all goodbyes in Christ reflect the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. The priesthood is to reflect Christ, even in a mediocre priest like me. So even the most ordinary priest's life will often imitate the high priest, Jesus Christ, who said himself this Holy Week, and I'll close with this quote from our Lord. Is this what you are asking yourselves again, what I meant by saying, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.